Welcome to the Campus Chronicle, everybody. I'm here today. My name is Jacob Tubbs. I'm here with Aaron and Molly. How you guys doing?
Fantastic.
Fantastic. Good. Got a nice, big, news-filled podcast today. We're going to talk about some current events happening overseas right now. We're going to talk, go into some movies, go into some sports, the whole shebang today. It's going to be a great podcast, and I say, guys, let's dive right into it. So, Molly, tell me about your story right now.
Yeah, something that I've been kind of spending a lot of my time following along with was the Sarah Everard case out in the UK. This woman went missing, and allegedly a police officer was charged with her kidnap and murder after her body was found. I don't want to get like too much into details of the case because there aren't too many out there and available, but everything, her going missing and then her being found, kind of spurred this whole women's movement over in the UK that has led to protests, that has led to some police brutality similar to what we saw with protests here in the US earlier in 2020 and this year. And I mean, that's kind of just the whole thing that's been filling up my news feed. If you haven't heard about the story specifically, I feel like a lot of people have gotten little tidbits of just like Me Too sort of social media posts and things like that. And I mean, that's the case that it spurred from. Is it's very common over in the UK specifically, all around the world, but for women to go missing and never be found. So it's just one of those precautions that women are now talking about globally again, is things that they have to think about that men typically don't when just walking around and living their lives, the extra precautions that they have to take to help them feel safe. And even when they do all the right things like this woman, Sarah, did, things still go terribly wrong. And it's just ridiculous that everywhere, first world countries, it's happening to women. So yeah, is it that story that popped up on your guys' newsfeed at all, or?
Yeah, I mean, for some reason, I only heard about this story like literally 10 minutes ago when he brought it up to discuss. Like, I'm not sure if it's kind of thing where the media is just not covering it very much, or if it's just not showing up in any of my social media stuff for some reason. But yeah, I had no clue that was happening. It was pretty surprising and pretty sad to hear it too. But yeah, what about you, Jake?
Yeah, it has popped up. Just, you know, scrolling the internet and stuff like that. Again, I didn't read too much into it, and so on and so forth. But, yeah, really, really sounds like a really messed up story and so on. Molly, have there been any movements because of the UK protests in America right now? Have you seen any of those?
I think it's a lot of women just like joining into the conversation. They're not trying to like, we're still trying to like make it around the case and like bring attention to the women who are like missing. But it is still, again, like this resurgence of the fact that, I don't know if I mentioned earlier, but like almost a Me Too movement, where it just, again, proves the fact that it's, to most men, like it's not just like one woman, you know. It's every woman, you know, has gone, like, has these things in the back of her mind of like, oh, I have, like, every time I walk outside, like, I could be kidnapped and murdered. Like, that's a very realistic fear in women's heads. And it's just a resurgence of that and kind of educating men, like, you have to do some, like, there are things you can do to help ease that anxiety with women, whether it be like, some people were talking about, One guy like went up to his friends and kind of asked her what he could do to kind of like not scare women when he's out running at night and like, because he noticed that like women got like very jolted and like fearful when he would like run past them. And they're like, "Wear super reflective material. Like, give us a wave. Like, let us know you're not running after us. Like, you are genuinely just out for a jog." And it's like little things like that, because like that's our fear coming true, having like a man run towards us in at night, you know? So it's like little things like that that are just like being ignited by people, and those conversations are being brought into a forefront because of what had happened.
Right.
Yeah, that's a interesting point you bring up about, you know, kind of asking men, you know, of course, mainly white men, to, you know, do something, just because, you know I brought it up right before the podcast, and I won't go right, you know, too big into it. But I've been doing a story about the daily, you know, just again, if anybody's listening, go to the daily, read the stories. It's about student government. But basically what one of the points in one of the stories was, you know, one of the people that were a part of the a multicultural organization were asking, you know, white people to like be like, "Hey, it's like your responsibility to like, you know, give up some ground." And that's not the right term, but like, it's, you know, it's your responsibility to, you know, help us out and not ask for anything back. And I think that's a key point, you know, because it's like when you're asking, you know, whether it's a cop or something like that, and you're trying to take something away, you know, many times you're asking, well, what do I get back though? And it, you know, it's very hard to understand, like, no, we're just taking it away. You're not getting anything. Okay. You know, you're not getting a raise for being a better cop or something. Right. I don't know. So yeah, I find how that similarity is pretty striking, where it's just like when you're just asking someone to, you know, be safer, you know, many times I think it goes into people's heads like, well, I need a carrot, I guess, to do that or something.
Need a reason to do it. It's like what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think that's an interesting part of the conversation. That's obviously not usually even a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And you bring up like educating men. And I feel like that's definitely one of the most like important parts of it too, just because, you know, as a man, it can be kind of hard to realize what women go through, you know, like literally on a daily basis. And you have to kind of make them realize how much of a like privilege they actually do have compared to people like women or people of color. So it can be very important to like educate them, and then from there have them become an ally to those people and, you know, use their privilege, so to speak, to like help people, you know, get more rights or feel safer and such. And I think that's definitely an important conversation to have for sure.
Yeah, that's why, I mean, I wanted to bring it up here today is because for things like both of you guys mentioned, it was kind of grazed over, or like not really, like something that was able to be grazed over on your social media profiles and stuff like that, where like it's everywhere on mine and everywhere on my like female friends. And like, that's not helping anything necessarily. Like, we already know that like that's what women go through. So that's, yeah, that's kind of why I wanted to bring it up. And just an annoying thing about the algorithms, I guess, that you guys, that like, we're so blind to things that aren't directly in our circle anymore.
Question, where did you like, when did this like story like first pop up on your feed?
It's been weeks. I don't know. I don't even remember an exact date. Time has no meaning.
Was it from a medium from, say that five times fast, you know, from like England or from the United Kingdom, or was it like from like the Associated Press, or was it from like a CNN? I don't know.
The first time I think I saw it was from, I follow a like just like global update page. sort of thing. So it ran out of New Zealand, I believe, and they just kind of give like little blur, like headline sort of things to for you to like dive deeper into if like that's something that again like interests you. And it was like it kind of just kept coming up, that same headline. So, and then I started seeing, like I said, it just all over my social media with people getting involved in the conversation. So yeah, now it readily just kind of shows up too, just in my recommended news on like Apple News and stuff like that, because
yeah, it obviously has gained steam now and is being covered by basically all news outlets. But it's interesting how, like, you know, when things like that happen, and again, this situation has evolved into something bigger, obviously, but it's interesting because I don't know, I feel like sometimes like media outlets, like they don't try and just skip over like news, you know, they I think you try to get as much news, you know, into your website, newspaper, whatever, as much as you can. So it's always interesting just, you know, how sometimes we just skip over you know, really big news sometimes, you know, all news outlets do. It's not just one or two.
Yeah, it definitely became like a news piece once the police officer was involved versus just like a conversation amongst kind of people in the public, but which is unfortunate because again, a woman was missing even before a police officer was involved in her going missing. But
yeah, really,
but the police officer, was it the kind of thing where it was like planned over time, or do you know, was it like a spur of the moment, like he just thought, you know, I'm gonna kill her, or like what was the motivation behind it, do we know?
I don't think that's been given to anybody yet.
Okay.
And I don't even know, like, it's been kind of insinuated that he was being investigated prior to his connection with her kidnap and murder, but that's also kind of a gray area of, again, what the case is actually. I don't think they give out details as much over there as they do in the U.S.
Yeah.
Right. Until, like, after the fact.
Yeah. So he's obviously standing trial now. Has there been any like legislation that has, you know, come because of this, or are they still kind of in the beginning stages of still making their voice heard and so on and so forth?
I haven't seen anything change wise. It's a lot of people bringing back just the fact that for how long this has been, they were bringing, I guess there was this campaign called like Take Back the Night way back when with like, oh, I hope I don't get this wrong, but with like Jack the Ripper and like stuff like this with like in the 60s, 70s, like all of these different times. And they're like, why is this still a thing? Like, this is ridiculous. Like, this is past ridiculous at this point. Like, we do need legislation to like physically change what is happening and to keep people safer, because like it's just ridiculous.
Right. Definitely. And it, like when you hear stories like this too, like, it's so eye opening because, like, you know, everyone has a mom. Some people might even have like a sister too. And then just to hear a story like that and think, man, my mom or my sister has to go through that, you know, like I said earlier, like sometimes on a daily basis, like I said, it's just so eye-opening to hear stuff like that and realize how blind you could be to problems that are literally just right under your nose, you know?
Yeah, again, like, kind of bringing it back, you know, just another interesting point, kind of connecting it to the story I've been reporting on, too, like, it's just, I can't imagine being, like, you know, a minority in a society as like a white guy, you know, cause I am a white guy. Like, again, don't really need to worry about too much, you know, just trying to get a point across, you know, just cause you always do feel like you're sometimes yelling into the forest, you know, So I just, yeah, can't imagine how hard and difficult that is. All right. Anything else to add, anybody? Hopefully it we'll keep an eye on the situation and so on and so forth, and maybe come back to report it again. But anything else to add?
I don't know. I would just say, like anything we talk about on this podcast ever, is like, if this story like sparks your attention, definitely dig a little deeper into it on your own and keep spreading on what we talk about here.
I guess off the top of your head, Molly, do you have any like websites or organizations or anything that people should check out?
Not specifically, no. There's so many resources, or like we talked about earlier, just like even just like genuinely having a conversation with like females that you know, in not a regard of like just curiosity, but you know what you could do, like genuine questions that you have. I don't know. I feel like, yeah, yeah, talk to people as well as, yeah, there's resource, like just Google it. Everywhere.
Yeah. I think like as a man, I don't think I'm in a position to say like what the best course of action is, but also I think it's very important to, like you said earlier, sit down with like females you're close with and be like, what can I do to make life easier and like less scary for you? I think that's a very important thing that men should be doing right now, especially with these new stories that are coming out. But.
Exactly. And with all these stories, like that's the perfect icebreaker, because I mean, like right now, like we're having this conversation about it. I would probably have never brought this up just like on my own, on like some little like war horse being like, do you know what women go through? No, right. But the story helped like spark that conversation. And that's something that everybody I think could use. Unfortunately, there's so many out there. So advantage of it.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it gets itself resolved on a, on our next note, Aaron put himself through 4 hours of a very, very cool, interesting viewing. Aaron, tell us about it.
Yeah, this is also something I know nothing about, so now you guys are educating me.
Okay. Let's see. So, recently, as in yesterday.
Wait. Sorry. I'm so sorry. I know I'm interrupting.
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
So, not to like spoil your whole story, I know it was good. I know you really liked it, but 4 hours. When was like, what, at which time did you like start like asking yourself, like, what am I doing? What am I doing? 4 hours.
Well, like, I said losing before faith the podcast
that this showing would never end. that's my
question. Oh, 100%. Yeah. There were times when we were like, cause I watched it with a friend of mine. We were like, oh my God, like, how long is this? We've been here for like 2 hours. So we took a small break, but for people who don't know what we're talking about, the Justice League was re-released recently by the original director. So basically for the first one, Zack Snyder was directing it and he had a family issue come up. So he had to drop out like pretty much when it was like 3/4 of the way done, unfortunately. And it was taken over by another director named Joss Whedon. And it was not a very good movie. Just, it got like reshot and re-edited, and just so much of the movie was changed that it was just not the best. It was no one's fault. It just wasn't great. And then, you know, like maybe 4 or 5 months ago, a lot of actors and like fans started kind of petitioning for Zack Snyder's original vision to be re-released as like a director's cut type thing, you know? So he started doing re-editing and like did some reshoots and such and made his original vision into the movie. And yeah, it was 4 hours long. I think including credits, it was like, you know, 4 hours and 5 minutes or something like that to be specific. But yeah, it was a lot more content than the original one. And like you were saying, there's a point like halfway through where we were like, man, this really is a 4 hour long movie. Like, we're going to be here for 2 more hours. And yeah, I mean, yeah. Any questions or anything you guys have regarding it? Because I'm not really sure what specifically to talk about here. But
when you said 2 hours, like that's like the point in time too where I would be like, man, like 2 more hours. This is a bit crazy, you know. Like, at least give me a part one, part two. Don't do just 4 hours, you know? Like, when I watched The Irishman, like, it was a great movie, but, like, for me, like, a good movie length for me is, like, an hour and a half between 2 hours. Like, that's the perfect amount of time, right? And that's most movies. Mm-hmm. But, like, The Irishman, like, I was hour and a half into it, and I'm like, man, I still have to watch, like, another movie worth of this film. Like, crazy.
Right.
Yeah, so, like, I couldn't agree more. And then, so, like, the two directors, what's their name again? I know the two guys, the one guy that had the terrible one first, and then the guy that kind of fixed it. Mm-hmm. What are their names?
Yeah, so Joss Whedon, he's the one who took over and released the not-so-great one. He also directed the first Avengers movie, if anyone else has seen that. But yeah, and the guy who re-released it, who was originally going to direct it, is Zack Snyder. He did, like, Batman v Superman and, like, Watchmen and, like, 300, if you've seen that movie. He did stuff like that.
Mm, yep, yep, great movie. Do they have, like, any beef? Like, did Zack Snyder be like, look, we had to fix a lot of things here. Like, it was bad. Like, is there any beef?
No, just because, like, it wasn't Joss Whedon's fault. It was definitely the studio, because they asked for all these reshoots and he just basically did the best with what he could, so it's not really his fault. But yeah, as far as I know, there's no beef, but I haven't really kept up on that side of things, so I'm not really sure.
That's something that I was super curious about, because, like, Joss Whedon has produced and directed so many iconic, like, TV series and, again, movies and stuff like that he's been involved in. So I was like, didn't even know that was a thing, and was super curious. I was like, what did he do wrong? Refilm it, because he has a successful roster of films and TV shows.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like I said earlier, it was like 3/4 of the way done, so like time was definitely constrained, which whenever there's like time constraints or time limits in the movie, it does not help at all, especially with like special effects too. You need to take the time to make a good movie. And when that doesn't happen, it produces not so great, like garbage sometimes. But yeah, it's crazy. Yeah,
could you guys, I don't know if you guys were keyed into it, but when they released the trailer for the Sonic Hedgehog movie and everyone hated it, change it, and then they did. Yep. Like, that's almost the same thing as like, what if they didn't? Like, imagine how that movie would have gone.
Right.
We're going to keep it.
I feel like it would have done well because people would have, like, hate-watched it. You know? Like, sometimes I do things just to, like, hate-watch. Like, that used to be, like, the Houston Rockets for me. Like, I would just, like, I hated the way they played basketball, but I would watch them all the time because it's kind of comforting being, like, that's not how you're supposed to play basketball, yelling that at the TV, you know?
Right.
I feel like, I wonder if like a studio will do that one day. They'll be like, we know this is going to be terrible, but guess what? People are going to hate watch it, and we're going to make...
We'll be fine, yeah.
We'll be really good at it.
I think
you know, with the Sonic the Hedgehog... Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just going to say, I think that's a good... a lot of Netflix movies, they do that.
Oh my God, yeah. yes, like with Sonic the Hedgehog, though, I heard a conspiracy theory that I'm fully on board with regarding that movie, which is they released that trailer with the god-awful version of Sonic the Hedgehog that even people who only know him a little bit saw it and were like, what is that thing? That's a monstrosity, right? So it makes you think, like, who in their right mind would have approved that? Like, who looks at that and goes, you know what? That's Sonic the Hedgehog right there. Like, no one with a sound mind would ever approve that. So the conspiracy theory is that was never the intention. They wanted to get fans outraged and rioting, and then they would re-release the trailer with a good version of Sonic, and then people would be like, oh, they listened to us. Let's go see the movie now. So, I mean...
They only ever animated horribly a 3-minute trailer. Like, the movie was done.
Right.
They just...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you get it. Right. Because, like I said, who in their right mind would look at that and be like, yeah, that's good. Sonic the Hedgehog should have realistic human teeth. That works, yeah. Like,
yeah, that was the thing.
I fully believe that conspiracy theory.
But, I mean, that's
yeah. Anyways, back to Justice League.
yeah, I don't know.
But yeah, so the movie like, was all
you,
right.
You know why that was approved, Aaron? You know why? It's because why every almost every single sequel to a movie is terrible. It's because executives get involved, they're riding the wave, and they just ruin the movie.
Yep.
Like that's what happens. Like
yeah, you're exactly right.
It's probably some person with like a oversized hat and a cigarette was like, man, this is different, man. Like you should go for it, man. And yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
that's anytime like one the studio of the things as like a reporter I want to like explore is like what the hell is the movie business, like what is the Hollywood business, because from like comedians I listen to, like supposedly it's just like terrible in like a complete whirlwind of an experience. So it's definitely something I want to explore. And yeah,
it's like a whole other world.
I want to know the people that approve Sonic the Hedgehog having teeth and four-hour movies. Like, these are the people yeah. I want to dig into the minds of. Yeah, so anything to add, Aaron? Like, I guess my final question would be, like, for someone, you know, looking into the abyss of this four-hour movie, what if they don't want to take 4 hours of their life and put themselves through this, like what's one thing they need to take away or like they should know about it before diving in?
Yeah. I don't know if I have anything specific, I guess, but I mean, like, yeah, I don't know, honestly, just go in if you want to watch it, cool, but definitely like break it up and like take a break halfway through. Yeah, there's not really anything specific I would say, but yeah, it's a wild ride, definitely. And there's parts where you're watching it like, why did this need to be kept in? Like, I get you wanted to have your original vision, but there's a reason why it's 4 hours and this scene did not need to be in here. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, there's no reason why you should have kept this in, you know?
I feel like somebody needs to come out without any spoilers, but just like a timestamp to be like, pause here and then watch the rest of the movie, like, after you, you know, get lunch and do your errand yeah. the next day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a specific part. Honestly, like, when we stopped, it was, like, they split it into parts. So, like, on screen, it would be, like, part two with a chapter title, essentially. So we stopped around, like, part three or four, I think, which was kind of nice. So, like, it was a good, like breaking point because it like moved on to something else. So like whenever a new part flashes up, like a new chapter, that's the best time to pause and go do something else. But
perfect. Okay, that sounds way better than just like
now my yeah. Now my feelings have changed towards it, because if you have parts to it and it's like they specifically say part two, like that gives me structure right now. So mm-hmm. All right, now right. My feelings have changed. Okay.
Yeah, why didn't you say that earlier, Aaron? That changed.
I'm sorry.
It's huge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just all hope right. Like I'm glad like it exists, because it is a really cool thing to be like, here's my original vision. But I hope that this doesn't start a trend of directors being like, oh, by the way, here's my 4-hour version of the movie I wanted to release, you know. Like this time, it's fine. It's cool. But I hope other directors do not follow suit with that.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like we're getting into like an area of movies where it either has to be like a really short movie or like way too long. Like we've just decided, mm-hmm. You know what? This like hour and a half, 2 hour, you know, timestamp thing that's really good for everybody, we don't like that anymore. We want to do a movie in 7 minutes with Quibi, or we're going to release a 3.5-hour Irishman movie. That's what right. We're doing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, I guess going to my area of the woods, big, big news in sports right now. I mean, everything's going crazy. And in Iowa right now, a while back, Iowa State head coach Steve Prohme got relieved of his duties. And about, I want to say, 3 days later, they hired a new head coach, former UNLV coach. And
is this, what sport is this?
Basketball.
Okay, I'm so dumb to sports, so.
They hired.
Yeah, I was just like, it's probably football.
Yeah, so that's been kind of consuming the Iowa State campus with sports right now. Otzelberger's our guy. I haven't watched. He used to be a assistant under Fred Hoiberg, who is kind of like beloved here in Ames. So it'll be interesting to see how he fares and so on and so forth. It's going to be a long process considering we went 2-22 this year. So
oh no, it was that bad.
Yeah, it was. We didn't win a single Big 12 game. It was that bad.
Was the coach fired specifically because they lost so much?
I think so. Yeah, I don't know. Like, when I found out they fired Prohme, like, I was a little divided at first because, you know, I really liked Steve Prohme. Like, he had success here. It's not like he just came to Ames and just fell flat on his face. Like, he led Iowa State to the tournament a couple times. They won two Big 12 championships under him. So it's not like he was just a complete failure. Like he had a solid tenure here. It's just the last couple years have been, they've been tough. And he knows, and some of the other things about him was like, he knows how to recruit, you know, there's, you know, a number of, NBA players in the league from Iowa State. You know, Talen Horton Tucker is doing really well for the Lakers. Abdel Nader, George Niang, those guys are more, Monte Morris, those guys are more from Hoiberg, but still, you know, it's pretty good. So it's, he knows how to like recruit and so on and so forth. It was just when you looked at the team, you were like, God, like, what are we good at? Like, cause like, you know, there would be some years where we're good on offense. And then, you know, once we lost some of our firepower, you know, after we lost Lindell Wigginton, Talen Horton Tucker, and Nick Weiler Babb to, the draft or graduation, that's when things really started to go downhill and we just didn't, it wasn't fun watching us play. Like, you watched an Iowa State game, you're like, man, this kind of is boring. Like, I don't really like this.
You know, and I think what's bad for Iowa State too is that so many teams were like really good this year. Like Iowa, for example, dominated way more than they have like in the past. So the fact that like they just have, even if they have an okay team, when there's all these better teams, it's just not going to work out in their favor.
Yeah, and that's like the other thing too is like that's a good point. Like the Big 12 was an absolute like dogfight this year. I mean, just you had Baylor, Texas Tech, Kansas. I mean, those are perennially top 15 teams. Texas was a top 10 team this year. Kansas, Oklahoma had sniffed the top 25 this year. Oklahoma State had the number one freshman in the country this year. So it's like, it's hard to win in the Big 12. And, but I mean, you know, you can't make those excuses. And so, and like the other thing too, is like, if we did keep some guys, because like Lindell Wigginton, for example, he declared after his, I believe, was it his sophomore year? It might have been his sophomore year for the draft, and he went undrafted, and right now he's in the G League. And, like, looking back, you're like, why would you declare for the draft? Because you want to declare for the draft if you're going to be a first round pick or, you know, potentially early second maybe. But so I think through a loss of talent that Prohm wasn't expecting, as well as, you know, just, you know, I don't know. I don't want to comment too much on the X's and O's standpoint because obviously he knows a lot more, but we didn't have that like punch to us that I thought we needed to have. I think that's why he got fired. So, you know, it'll remain to be seen how Otzelberger does. I'm kind of excited for him. I think he's going to be a really good coach. I think we're not going to be good next year, but like hopefully by my junior senior year at Iowa State, we're turning the ship in the right direction at least. So yeah, it'll be interesting.
I have a couple of questions. I'm going to just like interrupt you.
Yeah.
You can just like as rapid fire them as possible. I don't know. But first of all, do you know if he was like, okay, we're going to start with, I'm changing my pace a little bit here. Is it just the fact that he's part of the community that you're following this story, or do you follow like all college coaches? Is that a thing people do?
I try to follow like a lot of college coaches. Like I follow definitely more like professional sports, but like, and I don't follow like every college coach, but like definitely for like the Power Five, I'm always interested. Like, ooh, this has happened. Like when Les Miles, he used to be the former LSU coach. When he came to Kansas football, I was like, man, Kansas football, which has been like, they used to be like the Chicago Cubs for baseball. Like they were awful laughingstock. You know, I was like, hey, maybe they'll be, you know, good in a couple years. And then, you know, obviously he got fired a while back, but yeah, so I try to follow all the college scenes, especially for the Power Five.
And then you keep saying he was fired, and I'm just curious on if it was like, I don't know if this is totally true, because like I'm pulling a lot of these next couple things from like my experience as coaching high school sports, and like we're always under contract, and like typically that contract gets renewed, but I kind of assuming it's the same thing for college coaches. Was his contract not renewed or was it terminated?
It was terminated.
Okay. Damn.
Yeah. Sometimes you'll just like hear a story where it's like, oh, so-and-so have decided not to, they've mutually decided not to re-up with each other and so on and so forth. But, especially when you get to like the bigger schools, you'll notice that like a lot of these schools, a lot of these athletic directors, they'll just fire their coaches because they rely on booster donations and success for that matter. And
college coaches make, especially football and basketball, make a lot of money.
Well, that's the thing. Like, it's like when a college coach gets terminated in the middle of the season. You know, Prohm wasn't, he got fired after the season, but like whenever you hear that story, it's like you can't feel bad for them because they're gonna receive $3 million this year.
Right.
So it's like, how bad can you feel for someone that's making $3 million for now at this point not doing anything?
So do you think, like, I don't know if the coaches commented at all, but when he was going through the season and they had like loss after loss after loss, do you think he was like, you know, expecting to get fired, or is he like hoping they keep him on for another season?
Well, that's an interesting point you bring up, because Prohm never came off like he was like, man, like if I don't get a couple wins here, I'm gonna be fired. I'm sure that he definitely thought of that in the back of his head, because I think if Prohm won like 3 or 4 games in the Big 12, he might have had another year. Granted, it's not a good, like, that's not good, but, you know, at least there's some sort of, like, you know, something to grab onto, you know, like, hey, we won our last 2 games of the regular season. Like, that's something I think we can build off this. There's just nothing to build off of in his case. And the interesting thing, though, is once he got fired, the athletic director, Jamie Pollard, came out with a video kind of explaining the firing. And then 3 days later, he was like, yeah, we're conducting our coaching search. And the coaching search lasted 3 days, which is pretty short.
Is that a long time? Oh, that's short.
And granted, they knew Otzelberger from before, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was like three quarters of the way through the season. Pollard was kind of like, he said in his video when he hired TJ, Coach Otzelberger, like, he was like, yeah, we knew three quarters of the way through the season. Like, we're going in a change of direction. So I'm kind of fascinated to kind of find out what that was like in that environment, because it probably wasn't leaked, but, you know, if it was leaked that, you know, Prum was getting fired three quarters of the way through the season, like, it's an interesting dynamic, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, I wonder if, like, who knew, like, if the team knew. Because you, like, build such a, like, connection with your coaches. You see them every single day. To not know that, like, that just has to suck. Like, whether you, like, liked them or not, like, if you didn't know and everybody else knew, like, the coach knew he was leaving, like, I would just feel kind of betrayed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to me, it almost seems like with, like, a three-day turnaround like that, like, they were already looking for another coach, and then a bad season was just, like, the perfect excuse to be like, okay, let's go with this other guy we've been looking at for, like, however long now, you know?
Yeah, I don't think it probably got to that point at Iowa State, you know, just because there was no leaks or anything like that. But there's definitely been situations where it's like the coach kind of knows his days are numbered, and everybody's just, you can tell, even in media interviews, they're just walking on eggshells at this point. So it's always like a really unfortunate situation, but in all, I think Otzelberger, he's going to do a good job. He's known for his recruiting. So hopefully we'll get some high star recruits coming to Ames again and, be back in March Madness, for crying out loud, cause we need it. And yeah, I mean, that's about it. I can talk about NFL free agency for a little bit, but we're almost to our breaking point, I feel like. So yeah, anything else to add, guys?
No, that's just a pretty crazy situation.
Yeah, it's really interesting to learn about, because I knew nothing about it, but like, as you talk about it again, like, it sparks my interest, because I do have like experience athlete and as a coach, so like, it is really interesting to hear about when you talk about it, but I also don't think it's ever anything I would just independently come across or look into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Well, in all, hopefully the UK Sarah Everard situation kind of resolves itself and the right decisions are made by legislation and, you know, politicians to fix that. To Hollywood directors, 4 hours. Let's cool the jets on that. And good luck to Coach TJ Otzelberger. Hopefully I can have a good Iowa State season when I'm in Ames. Hopefully I don't have to look at 5-20 seasons every single year I'm in Ames. And yeah, thank you everybody for listening to the Campus Chronicle. I'm Jacob, and I'm here with Molly and Aaron, and we'll see you next time.